Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell and I'm joined by my intangible co-host, Tempest the Wrestler.
I am your intangible co-host, Tempest the Wrestler. I've completely run out of different ways to do that.
Yeah, I know. It gets hard after a while when it's two podcasts a week. How long have you been doing these podcasts with me now?
Since the week after WrestleMania. So.
Oh yeah. Damn.
Start of April then, I guess.
4 months. Yeah. Nearly five.
Yeah.
Cracking. Yeah. It's come fast. Yeah, you're going to run out when it's two times a week pretty quick. But you've done well, I think. You've done pretty well to keep it entertaining. Well done.
Thanks, man.
Now, normally, I'd ask how you're doing and all that stuff, but I'm going to talk about me today, okay?
Oh.
I've got some stuff to talk about. Today has been a day, all right?
Oh, dear.
I woke up this morning at 2:30 for no reason. Which was a great start to the day. I got out of bed at about 3:30 a.m. And because of various reasons, some of them my fault, mainly my fault, I had to pack up all my home equipment that I've got and take it all to the office in time to record stuff. And I had to record in the studio today because my home setup is no longer functional. Again, partially my fault. I'm taking partial blame for this.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly my fault, probably, but I blame one, the cables, and two, the manufacturing of the lights that I broke. Anyway, so I had to get my stuff packed up early, and I like double and triple and quadruple checked that I had everything because I needed the camera, the tripod, the like an SD card, the clip-on microphone, the charger for the microphones, the cables for all that stuff. There was like a bunch of stuff that I had to pack up. So I had to like double and triple, quadruple check all that stuff. Got it all sorted. That was all fine. And I just got like on the way over, I had to get an Uber over. Which, by the way, had to get an Uber over because last week my bank card registered as fraudulent. There were fraudulent payments coming out of my account. So they had to block my account and send me a new card, which I haven't got yet. So I literally do not have a functional bank card right now, which is rad. So I had to get an Uber because the way you travel on the London Underground, I don't have an Oyster card. So I have to use my bank card for it, which I can't do because the bank card's blocked. So I had to pay for an Uber using PayPal. And that's like the only way that I can travel right now, which is super rad. So I got an Uber using PayPal. On the way over to the office, and like halfway through the journey, I'm like, did I remember the cable for the camera? I did. I'm super anxious about everything the whole time. Got to the office. All good. Love it. Set up everything in here. Took me like 15 minutes to just put the camera on the tripod because there was one screw, one little turny bit that just wasn't playing ball today. And I was like, it's like 5:30 a.m. I'm not having this. I'm a bit annoyed about this now, but I was fine. I was doing my bit, so I got everything set up. It was all good. I was ready to go. Went in, watched SmackDown, got my stuff ready, wrote my script, did all the stuff, came back in. That was all fine. All good in the hood. And then spoke to the editor being like, hey, here's the files for the rushes and stuff. And they said, am I not editing today? And I was like, guys, who's editing? Because there were two editors that thought they were both editing this video. And I was like, who is it? do it. One of you, please. Because we've had this situation before where one person doesn't realize that they're editing. And then it's gotten to a point where like, am I going to have to edit it? Because I'm not a video editor. This is going to go terribly. I don't know how to do green screen stuff. That was a bit stressful, but we got that sorted. Did all my normal stuff. Got all that sorted. That was great. And then I was like, okay, I've got a bit of time. I'm going to tidy up the office. Because the office, still recovering from SummerSlam weekend. This is left in a little bit of a tip, right? So I cleaned up some of the office, took out the rubbish, stuff like that. That was all well and good. And then I was like, man, I'm already getting quite hungry. I had breakfast super early this morning because I got up very early. I brought in some meal prep lunch, brought that into the office. Had that at about like 10:30, super early for lunch, right? It's also not super filling. It's only like 300 calories or whatever. So by the time it got to like actual lunchtime, I was getting pretty hungry. And I was like, man, I'm just going to go to the local Sainsbury's and I'll just buy myself a little meal deal or something. Went down to the Sainsbury's, got all my stuff, got to the checkout, scanned all my stuff. And I was like, bollocks, my card doesn't work. It's blocked. I literally can't use it. So I can't pay for any stuff. I have no way to pay for any of this stuff right now. Cool. It's fine. I'll go back to the office. I'm going to get myself an Uber Eats, going to get myself a McDonald's or something, right? That's fine, because I can pay through PayPal on Uber Eats. All good. Ordered that at about 1:20. Bearing in mind that we like to record these podcast bits, normally start around 2:40. And I was like, plenty of time. It will be here by like 2, gives me 40 minutes to eat. No big, right? I'll get everything set up in the studio first, so that when it gets here, I can just eat. And then when I'm done, go do the podcast bits. All good. Sorted, right? Ordered it at 1:20. It arrived here at 2:55. Has an hour and 15 minutes. And the order was ready for pickup at 2:10. Like, this dude, I was watching him on the map. He went to the big old shopping center that's near us called Westfield, right? And stayed there for ages. And I messaged him being like, hey man, are you going to come over? You seem to be stopping for a while. And he was like, yeah, I'm on my way. Are you? I don't think you are. I think you're lying to me, sir. Took him forever. Came here. Food was cold. Drink had spilled. Completely like dripping out the bottom of the bag. Everything was wet, cold, horrible. That's been my day, Tempest.
Pete, you can solve so many of these problems by just not committing fraud.
I didn't commit fraud! People spent money out of my account and it wasn't me.
You just stop committing fraud and all of these problems go away. We need to have an intervention.
They spent like 80 quid out of my account. Wow. 80 quid. Before the bank called me up and was like, are these payments yours? I'm like, no. No, they're really not. So hopefully I can get that money back, but we'll see. So that's been my day. I'm a bit tired. And I'm a bit peeved. I'm a bit vexed.
You were a positive Pete today on the podcast, though.
I know. We're recording
this afterwards because Pete had to eat said McDonald's during the time that we normally film the podcast extras. Yeah. And this time we're filming it after. You were so positive. Like, I knew that you were having a bit of a day, but you were like, yeah, I love these shows. And wrestling's so fun and Roman Reigns and this and that. Spoilers for the podcast you're about to listen to. But yeah. I don't know, man. You're just holding this in.
I mean, SmackDown was fun. I don't know what to tell you. Roman Reigns was great. There was a lot of things to enjoy on the show. It was okay. It's just that everything else in my life sucks. No, it was just today. It was a bit anxiety-inducing a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
It's been fine, though. It's been fine. Anyway, let's get into talking about SmackDown. Got some other stuff to talk about later. So, first thing we're going to be talking about is Happy Corbin. Because Happy Corbin has arrived on SmackDown, and we thought it was going to be terrible. And you know what? It's not. I thought it was pretty good. Let's talk about it. But let's talk about Happy Corbin. Because It happened originally where Kayla Braxton was backstage waiting for Roman Reigns to arrive, and she says, "Oh, I think that's him coming in now," as a car pulls up. It turns out, no, it's not Roman Reigns. It's Baron Corbin. And Baron Corbin, he's shaved. He looks great. He's in like a Bentley. He's got a suit. He's got a hat, a really obnoxious hat. It's great. And basically, it came out on social media over the weekend because they were in Vegas for SummerSlam that Corbin won it big in Vegas. He won it all, and he's got all his money back, and his wife has accepted him back again. He's got everything back on track. He's got his riches. And now you can just call him Happy Corbin, because that's what he is now. He's just a happy guy because he's got everything back that he wanted. And I was like, okay, this is... All right, well, we're finally here at Happy Corbin. We knew this was going to be the plan eventually. I guess we're here now. Let's see how this goes. Comes out to the ring. He's got new entrance music, which is like slot machines and all that stuff, which I thought was very entertaining. And he comes out, and he's just the happiest guy. He's just coming out, and he's being proper obnoxious. Like, dressed to the nines. He's got champagne in the ring, like a red carpet. He's got, like, you know, the ropes coming across for, like, VIP access and stuff like that. And, comes out, and he's a proper obnoxious dickhead the whole time. I think he did a wonderful job. And he brought out Big E and tried to buy the Money in the Bank briefcase off him now, because his thing is he has money now, which, you know, we've seen a few times. It generally works pretty well. And he tried to, you know, buy the briefcase off Big E. Big E said no. Got some cheap, you know, local sports team? Local mascot, local...
Yeah, I think it was like a college football team mascot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pops for Big E. And then he was like, hey, you better get out my ring, otherwise I'm going to slap that smile off your face. And Corbin was like, okay. And then got out the ring and was just, hey, I'm just happy I got my stuff back, and kind of goes off to the back again. He didn't like get confrontation or anything. He was like, no worries. Just carries on back to the back. Corbin, I'm going to give him massive props, because any character he is given, he puts 110% into everything. Like, he really tries to make the best out of every situation he's put in. And I think this one really worked. I really, really enjoyed Corbin's performance here. I am really liking Happy Corbin. I have no idea where it's going. I feel like it should just be kind of like a lower card heel that just kind of gets dicked on a lot. And he always just comes out and he's like, hey, it doesn't matter, I've got money, because that's all he needs to do. I'm liking it. I think it's got some legs.
Yeah. I mean, this was not what I thought Happy Corbin was going to be.
No.
And that, I think, is the big thing here, where when we saw Happy Corbin, I was anticipating like the direction that Kevin Owens appeared to be taking this storyline, where we need to teach you to be nice and to be good to people. I thought they were going to just go that route, and he was still going to be poor, but he was going to try and be positive about it. And I thought it was going to be whack and be like the second coming of Shorty G and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But that's not what we got here. We got Cameron Grimes, but a heel still. And yeah. I mean, Cameron Grimes was a heel at the beginning of him having money, but he eventually yeah. transitioned into a babyface role. So who knows? Who knows what comes of this? But for a first week, It's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah.
And
you know,
I mean,
Corbin's a good heel.
Yeah,
so I don't have any. I don't have any reason to believe that he's not going to be able to pull off just a new heel character like this.
Yeah, and I think with what I really liked about this as well is that you could tell that it wasn't just, oh, he's Baron Corbin again. He's just back to being like the king character or whatever. This is a new version of Corbin. Especially when it came out and they were talking about, because he still very much maintained that heel side of things, to being like, hey, it doesn't matter. If you cash in, you're just going to lose anyway. Because, you know, that's what happens to people who have the Money in the Bank briefcases. They lose their cash-ins. And he's like, you mean like you did? And he's like, yeah, like I did. So, you know, and he's just like nothing seems to faze him. He's just happy all the time now, which I just found it very endearing and very charming and made me laugh quite a bit, which is unusual for WWE. But I thought he did a very good job of this new character. And I'm genuinely, this combined with, I'm more optimistic about Becky Lynch's heel turn, which we'll talk about in a little bit now. I still don't think it's a good idea to turn a heel, but I'm more optimistic that the heel turn will now work rather than it just being like a completely failed heel turn and everyone will still cheer her regardless. And also, I'm now super into Roman Reigns again after this episode, because I felt like the whole stuff kind of went on. It got a bit cold the last couple months, but I think this episode kind of got the dynamics back on track again. So that, in combination with Becky Lynch and Happy Corbin, I was like, I got some stuff to look forward to on SmackDown. That's nice. That's refreshing. So I left this episode feeling a little bit more positive than I do normally about it. And Happy Corbin was part of that. Thought it was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the Happy Corbin character in this, in its current form, has a lot of potential for fun segments and fun character writing and everything like that. Now, character writing and WWE in the same sentence don't usually go together very well. But they had a good first week, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to be able to keep this train going. That might run into a wall the first time he has to wrestle, and I don't particularly look forward to his matches. But until then, if it's just going to be fun segments like this, here for it, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I could totally see him just being the kind of guy that just comes out, is obnoxious, inserts himself into stuff, and gets beaten up. Like, I don't think he even really needs to wrestle. Like, just have a bid, you know, have him be in, like, battle royals and stuff like that, but I don't think he really needs to have proper feuds or anything like that. Literally just like have him just be a character that appears for a little comedy bit here and there. I think he's perfectly suited for that, for the character he's gotten, for the acting levels he has. I think that's perfect.
I do too, but this is also WWE, and WWE loves to book Baron Corbin matches on every show.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And it does seem like he's still going to be feuding with Big E. So,
yeah, less, I don't know how I felt about that. Yeah,
but we'll see how that one goes.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
regardless, let's get into some of your Ultra Chats here. Just a reminder that we are sponsored by beer52.com/wrestle. Get in your, go follow that link and check it out. You can get 10 free craft beers, UK viewers only. All you have to do is pay for the postage, which is like £5.95. It's like 59p a can for 10 free beers. It's really, really good value. Go do it. And you can get in your Ultra Chats too at wrestletalk.com/support. I almost forgot the link there. Charles Berg says, it's still in its infancy, but the character of a man who never learns the correct lesson is pretty amazing. Corbin hasn't grown or matured as a character, but believes he has. It's both nuanced and two-dimensional. And it was actually funny. Jam that jam. I agree. I quite like that he literally never learned to be a nice person. And he's still just a dickhead.
That's why I think that going this route allows them to do more stuff than if he was just, you know, what I had previously said. Because you can still have Kevin Owens be like, no, this isn't the answer. I don't know if they're going to involve Kevin Owens in this going forward. Because he only showed up in like a few segments with Baron Corbin during the previous character. So they could go that route. They could not. I don't know. What does Kevin Owens think? It's really the only question that needs to be asked on these shows. It doesn't matter what we think. It's about what Kevin Owens thinks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Kevin Owens is not happy with Baron Corbin's life choices right now.
Yeah, 100%. Hannah Allen says, with that, I feel like this is a continuation of a previous Ultra Chat. I'll go back to that one later because it feels like it's a continuation of the other one. I'll just read that one out with the other one later. I think, maybe.
Cool.
We'll see. Gatecrasher Forever, this is about Rampage stuff. We will be talking about Rampage later as well, so fear not. We will be talking about that later on. Gatecrasher Forever says, the diminishing crowd reaction could be due to... Oh, and it's moved. The diminishing crowd reaction could be due to taping Rampage after Dynamite. They would have already seen Omega pop for Punk and sat through matches like Gun Club versus The Factory. When Rampage is taped after Dynamite, they run the risk of it happening again. I agree. Yeah,
it was my biggest takeaway from the show. My biggest negative takeaway, I should say, was just like the crowd after the opening match was basically done for the night.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. And 69 Intangible Sadie Deegan says, good afternoon, beautiful boys. Rampage was awesome last night. Ty Conti is so fun to watch. Kingston versus Miro, inject that right into my veins. The Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks cage match is going to be insane. Hashtag Fly Phoenix Fly. Hashtag LIW444 life. Thank you, Sadie.
I can't wait to see that match live.
Yes, you get to see it live. To be fair, we rubbed it in your face for ages that we all got to return to the office and you didn't, so you get to rub it in our face. All out.
Ha ha, you knobs, I get to go to CM Punk's return match, and you don't. You all get to be in person and go for drinks after work, but not me. I get to watch CM Punk wrestle. Suck it, nerds.
Cool. Gosh.
It should be fun. Stuck.
It should be. Well, it should be fun. I think with the announcement as well, that you got the... Yeah, Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros cage match on this show, and also Kingston versus Miro. I'm like, those are two very good additions to this card.
Very much. Very much.
Yeah.
It's very rare, because obviously I don't go to like pay-per-views very often.
Mm.
You know, I've only gone to a small handful of pay-per-views ever. But seeing the card come together for a show you're actually going to see is like a different experience, because you're not only just like... Because typically, between these two teams, wouldn't have cared who won, really. But now, because I'm going to see the match, I'm just like, who do I want to see more, though?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's different. It's fun.
Well, we'll talk about Rampage later on, but first, just want to remind everyone that we're sponsored by Beer52, beer52.com/wrestle. Go get your 10 free craft beers, UK viewers only. You only have to pay for shipping, $5.95. Go do it. Go click the link. Also helps us out if you click the link, so you want that too. Go do it. Let's talk about SmackDown, and then we'll get into talking about Rampage, which started off as Pat McAfee has tested positive for COVID, as he revealed recently. We had the commentary team of Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and what does Kevin Owens think? It was all right.
Yeah, it was fine. I'm not sure why they felt like they needed Corey Graves for here. It's usually a two-man booth on SmackDown anyway, and Kevin Owens is good at this. Just have him be the...
Yeah.
Have him play the part of Pat McAfee.
I will say I did not miss Corey Graves. I heard him on this show. He used to be really good.
He did.
As a commentator, and I don't know what happened. Really good. Well, I think he got broken by the WWE system is what happened, but that's not the point. But yes, KO was fine. I don't think he had any particular amazingly outstanding lines or anything on this show. He was just kind of there doing his thing. He was all right. Was cool.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, if he gave him the more of the Pat McAfee role to just be like, go out there and just be dumb, he could totally do that. I think he'd have a whale of a time, but hey-ho. Mm-hmm. But the show started off with a recap of the Bianca and Becky stuff from SummerSlam. And the show started with Becky Lynch. And my first note is, they're doing a real bad job if she's supposed to be the top heel. Because all the recap packages were like, look at the crowd cheering for Becky Lynch's return. And then she came out and she was like, wow, all these people are so great. I'm like, aren't you supposed to be a heel? But by the end of this segment, I understood what was happening. Because she's not technically a heel yet. All the reports and stuff were saying that she's planning to be the top heel on SmackDown. And I think it's a process. And it started at SummerSlam with her beating Bianca in a few seconds and coming out and beating up Carmella and taking her spot. And it continued on this show where Becky came out and said, man, you know, I just want to say I heard a lot of people were upset about what happened at SummerSlam. I just wanted to say that I apologize for absolutely nothing. Classic.
You swear. Dick.
Yeah. Which, you know, people cheered that line, which makes sense, because, you know, that's a very Becky thing to do, just not apologize. Hey, remember when she apologized to the McMahons? Good times.
Why would you bring that up, Pete? I'm trying to have a nice day.
Hey, man. But she did cut a pretty good promo, I thought, saying that, like, hey, you thought I was dangerous before when I was just fighting for myself. I have a different set of responsibilities now. You have no idea how dangerous I'm going to be now that I'm fighting for other people. And I was like, oh, that's good. I like that. That was a nice little character motivation for Becky. I really like that. Her saying that she was not sorry for SummerSlam stuff brought out Bianca Belair, came out and said, hey, I accepted your challenge at SummerSlam, so why don't you accept mine? I want another match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. She said, I'm not going to have all the work that I did for the past few months be wiped out in 26 seconds, which... technically already did because you lost Bianca, but you know, whatever, that's fine. And before Becky can give her a proper answer, out comes Zelina Vega.
Yeah,
all right. Zelina Vega comes out and says, oh my god, why are you crying for a rematch? I want a match. It's like, isn't that what you're doing? Fine. And then Carmella came out and she said, I didn't have time to get ready at SummerSlam. I only found out like an hour beforehand that I was even going to be in the match, so I wasn't ready, all that stuff. Then out came Liv Morgan, and I was like, oh my god, someone different, thank god. And Liv Morgan came out, and she was just kind of right, and just said, hey, you two, neither of you should be in line for a title shot, because you don't win. And everyone was like, oh yeah, right, they don't win. Hmm. Anyway,
how did they book them in the number one contenders match anyway? Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. I can't get on board with this show a lot of the time is because of stuff like this.
Yeah, because wins and losses matter.
Yeah. I thought the segment was perfect up until Zelina Vega came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Becky Lynch stuff I thought was very engaging. Was very interesting, could go a bunch of different ways. She had good lines in there, like with the I have to fight for someone else now too. Like that was good. I really like that. Bianca mm-hmm. Belair coming out, natural progression of the segment, like that. She again has a right to be there. That's all good stuff. As soon as Zelina Vega came out, I was like, what are we doing? What's the point of any of this? She yeah. hasn't won a match, Pete.
I know.
She that's hasn't won one match since September. Of last year. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just have her beat people. Problem solved.
Well, who would she beat? But regardless, they then, the Bianca is just like, excuse me, all three of you, you've lost your minds. Becky, I was talking to you beforehand. How about it? How about that title match? And Becky just goes, nah, and then walks off. And I was like, oh, that's good. That's like, because that is going to make people boo her. Because her just kind of being a dick is kind of what people liked about Becky Lynch in the first place. So people aren't really going to boo that sort of character. But her just refusing to fight and Bianca being like, hey, I accepted your challenge. And then Becky not accepting her challenge makes her look like a coward. That's the kind of thing that will actually get her booed. So I think this was a good step in that heel turn that they wanted to do to be kind of one of the top female heels. I think this was good. And you didn't see her on the rest of the show. She literally just went, nah, walked off, and then you don't see her again. I was like, that's good. Nice. Good heel work. I like that. And the other four of them are... Sorry, go ahead.
Just cut out the middle chunk of this. Beginning Becky and Bianca stuff, and then the Becky-Bianca stuff at the end. Those two parts were great. It's just the sandwich bit. There's just tainted meat in the middle there that we need to just throw in the trash.
I quite enjoyed the match that followed after the two of them got eliminated. After the outbreak, it turned into a fatal four-way elimination match to determine the number one contender to Becky's championship. And Zelina Vega got eliminated by Bianca Belair, and Carmella got eliminated by Liv Morgan. And then, when it was Liv Morgan versus Bianca Belair for that section of the match, I thought it was really good. I got quite into it by the end. I was like, man, this is some good stuff from both of these guys. I just really enjoyed this little portion of the match. I thought Liv Morgan really improved. I thought she's looked quite comfortable being against someone of the caliber of Bianca Belair, who we know is a fantastic wrestler. Mm-hmm. Thought Liv looked quite good in this little section of the match. And by the time it got to the end of it, I was quite into it. But Bianca won clean, as she probably should have, and is the number one contender once again. But I think Liv Morgan looked better coming out of this than she did going in, which is success all around. I just would have preferred it that maybe in that segment, Liv Morgan was the one to interrupt, to be like, Sals babe, you had your chance. I would like my shot now because I've been winning while you've been champion. I've been winning, trying to work my way up. And then they just made a singles match between Morgan and Belair, and then Belair won. That probably would have made a bit more sense and just cut out the whole Carmella Zelina Vega thing. But regardless, it was still good. And I like the fact that Becky, Bianca, and Liv all look good coming out of it. So success for me.
Yeah, I think you basically covered it, honestly. I thought that the match was good once you got rid of the first two. And the crowd was chanting, this is awesome. They were super into it. The crowd was alive. They had some really good near falls. And that's good. Like, for a match like this, that ticks all the boxes. And then you have Liv Morgan coming out of it looking elevated by having a really good match with the person that was just women's champion for 6 months. It's good stuff. I just wish that things made a little bit more sense in the overall package of this segment. But that aside, if you just focus on the good bits were really good.
Yeah, they sure were. And then there was also the bit where Carmella tried to roll up Zelina Vega, which makes no sense because you were working together and it's an elimination match. Just work together to eliminate everyone else first. Stop being an idiot. That wound me up, but it's fine.
At least they're heels. You can be dumb heels.
Yeah, but also stop being dumb would be my thing. Just don't be dumb. Anyway, the good bits were really good, which for me outweighed the negatives of this segment. It was good. After this, we then got another thing that I quite enjoyed in this show was the dynamic between Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. We're back on track because we've been saying for a couple months how Roman's been kind of plateauing. The character hasn't really been going anywhere since the inclusion of Jimmy Uso into the Bloodline. It's been like, and there's the Bloodline. And there hasn't really been much character development since then. We're back on it again. We're back on the character development train, and I'm all for it. Because Paul Heyman was backstage. Kayla Braxton is just like, after Brock Lesnar came back at SummerSlam, people have been asking, you know, where's your allegiances with Reigns or with Lesnar? And Heyman just says, that's not a question. It's obviously my and your tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Excuse me. Goes to go in the locker room, and the locker room's locked.
I gasped. Dude. I gasped.
Such a good moment. I was literally just like,
It's like,
oh man, he's locked out, which was great, right? And it was him just like locked out, and he was just didn't know what to do. Went to an ad break, came back, he's still there, and just like, what do I do? And it just turns back to Kane Braxton, who's still there. He's like, do you not have anything better to do? Which is, his interactions with Kane Braxton are so funny.
Because she was like, mm-mm. Just big smile, like you knew that she was enjoying this, watching this man freak out, have a little panic attack. She's like, mm-mm.
It's very good. Very good from Kayla. Good personality. Yeah. But then he keeps trying to get into the locker room. The Usos then come out of said locker room. And they kind of insinuate that Heyman knew that Lesnar was going to be there at SummerSlam, which is why he sent the Usos back to the locker room before the match started, because he knew that Lesnar was going to come out at the end of it. And Heyman was like, no. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no way I would have known any of that. It wasn't me that sent you back. It was the tribal chief. And they're just like, you're trying to pin all this on Roman. And I was like, they're doing the Roman thing. They're doing the manipulation that Roman does, which was really nice. And it was just Heyman just constantly on the back foot, just like backpedaling the whole way through this conversation. And they're just kind of like trying to maintain like a, hey, positive, happy vibe. But they are threatening him at the same time, which is very, very cool. And then they walk back in the locker room and Heyman does not follow. He's just stuck outside again, just kind of waiting outside the locker room. It was a wonderful little interaction. Really enjoyed it.
I don't know what it is and why they can't balance these two, but when Roman goes up against a big pay-per-view opponent, he loses all agency as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as he's going up against someone who's a like mid-level, like an upper mid-card guy, and they focus more on what's happening with the group, it goes right back to being like the most interesting thing in wrestling. And it's like an immediate switch. The whole John Cena feud, I thought, was largely bad. Same thing with, like, I didn't think the build to WrestleMania was terribly good. I wasn't super into the Edge feud going into Money in the Bank. Like, it was all fine, but fine was kind of its best. But when it's him going up against Cesaro or Rey Mysterio, or now in this case, Finn Balor, and you can have the Usos and Paul Heyman be involved with everything, it's so much more interesting. And this was so interesting throughout the entire show, because you're like, I just want to see how everyone is handling this situation. Because I want to know what Roman Reigns thinks about the Usos trying to step up and talk to Paul Heyman this way. But I also am interested to see if Paul Heyman's going to tell Roman Reigns that the Usos are talking to him this way. And does that create a wedge between the Usos and Roman Reigns, or Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman? Like, there's so many different ways they could go, and it could all make sense. Yep. Love this storyline. I love it.
Yep. And we'll talk about it more later, because there were more segments through the night. But first, we've got to talk about Chad Gable versus Cesaro, which I heard it was happening, and I was like, that's good. Don't let me down. They did.
Yep.
Went a couple minutes and Otis caused a DQ. Yeah, there's not much more to say.
Piss off.
Yeah.
You know, this is the chunk of the show where I have no idea where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've now been watching Otis as the heel, just like he beats up the Street Profits. He beats up Cesaro. Where are we going? Tell me what the destination is. If they were building to anything with this character, I might be more interested, but they just come out, they have a short match, and then there's a DQ finish. It's lame.
Yep.
Figure it out.
I said this in my edited review, but I feel like they've done the same story with Otis forever now, where like Gable will have a match with someone, Otis will cause the DQ, then that person has a match with Otis the following week, and Otis will win and look strong, and then that's it. That's the story, and then they'll just do it with someone else. It's a bit annoying.
It's lame.
There's no progression, but hey-ho. And then we got the whole Happy Corbin stuff that we already spoke about, which I thought was really good. We got a recap of Edge and Rollins from SummerSlam. And then we got dueling promos from Edge, or back-to-back promos, I should say, from Edge and Seth Rollins. Edge saying that he had to go to a dark place, and now he wants to refocus his efforts and go back towards the Universal Championship once again, which is what this was all about in the first place. Whereas Seth Rollins says, hey, congratulations, Edge. You taught me a very important lesson at SummerSlam. And I realize now that I need to be more like you. So thank you. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. I really don't, because he's kind of been like an edge character the last little while, like manipulative, opportunistic, and everything. Like, is he just going to try and be like the Brood and drop blood on people or oil? I guess in PG era case,
it was a Brood bath.
Whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, don't question.
I don't know. I don't know where this goes, and I'm kind of a little bit concerned about where these two characters are going to go. Because they're both their character motivation is so tied to the Universal Championship. And I know that neither of them are going to win the Universal Championship anytime soon. So they're going to like have to find, they're either going to go again, which I'm not in favor of, or they're both going to need to be distracted by other people to keep them away from the Universal title picture. And I don't know what they could do to make me kind of like interested in all that that's going on. But hopefully, I mean, they're both good wrestlers, so fingers crossed they can find something.
He'll be the rated R Rollins superstar. It's going to be real bad.
Nailed it. Yeah. Like that pun was.
Mm-hmm. After that, we then had Roman Reigns arrive to SmackDown, and he goes up to the locker room, and you just see Paul Heyman just standing there, like, cowering, like, head hanging in shame, and just like, being all sad on the outside of the locker room. I was like, "Oh,
he's the puppy that got locked out."
Yeah, legit. Yeah. And Roman comes up and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I can't even remember what Heyman said at this point. I'm getting my segments mixed up.
So he was just like, "Oh, nothing trouble, chief."
nothing at all. And he was like, "Do I need to open my own doors around here?" And he's like, "Oh, no, of course, no. And like opens up the door for him. And he's like, "Are you coming in?" And he's like, "Yes, my tribal chief." And just like walks in after him. It's like, oh, he's terrified of Roman Reigns again. Like he was at first when this partnership first started, Heyman was quite like, you could see he was kind of like a little bit nervous around Reigns and being like, he's just paying me. Like, you know, I'm just here for the ride. I don't know what's going on. And through the course of this character, he's got more and more confident as his kind of like, you know, the right-hand man to the, not the right-hand man, that's Jey Uso, but, you know, the what does he call himself? The special counsel to Roman Reigns through this kind of progression of the character. And now he's kind of got to a point where that pedestal has been threatened to be taken away from under him. And now he's like, ah, no, I can't have that happen. I need to like, I'm going to be complete servitude. I'm so sorry for anything I may have done. And he's just like preemptively like terrified of Roman Reigns turning on him, which is wonderful. And he sells it through every facial expression, every movement, every word he says. It's just it's brilliant.
Superb. Superb storytelling. He's going back to the nuance and the subtleties and everything that made the storyline great, like when Jimmy Uso came back, the early portion, not when he was kissing Roman Reigns' ass for those few weeks. But, oh, man. I'm excited to watch SmackDown next week again, Pete.
Wild, right?
I don't think that I will, because I'll be in Chicago for the show, but
yeah,
I might go back and watch it.
Yeah, or maybe just the Roman segments, but yeah.
That's crazy. I'm going out of my way to watch a WWE product. This Roman Reigns stuff is so good. It's so good. I love
it. So good. That wasn't the end of it. We had some more later as well, but first we had Boogs and Nakamura taking on Rude and Ziggler. Boogs won. Pump handle
slam. This was a match.
It was fine.
I can appreciate that they are having Rick Boogs win matches.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, he's not just a loser who loses. He's a winner and wins. That is the better of the two options. I'm not particularly into the matches, but they're doing the right thing with the finish. So, thumbs up, gold star for you.
And he seems to be getting over with the crowd. They keep chanting Rick Boogs when he does his entrance and stuff like that. So seems to be working. Good job.
Yep.
During that match, Apollo cut a promo. Cool.
I don't care.
And yeah, no, me neither. Something I do care about was backstage. Naomi was there. Oh my God. It's another woman on SmackDown. What? And she goes up to Sonya Deville. And she's like, "I'm so excited. I'm the newest member of the SmackDown roster. When's my first match?" And Sonya Deville completely no-sells it. She's just like texting on her phone. She's like, "Oh, Sorry, I didn't even know you were gonna like be here. Get back to me, maybe like next week. I'll figure something out. And she's like, I don't know if you measure up. And I was like, don't know if I like that, but it's exciting that Naomi's there. That's nice.
I'm hoping that this leads to Naomi turning heel, going with the bloodline. Ooh. I think that would be fun. I think okay. that would be a fun idea. Even still, I hate Sonya Deville every time she shows up. And that's not because of her. It's because of how she's written.
Mm-hmm.
She's the new Stephanie McMahon, where she's the authority figure, and she's the one that's important. And oh, I can't be bothered with the musings of the wrestlers, the stars of this show. Bleh, get out of here. I'm going to text them my phone. I don't need to talk to Naomi. Oh, can you even imagine? She needs to get back in the ring and get her ass beat by someone that she talks to this way, or they need to stop doing it. This is near the top of my WWE pet peeve list of like the authority figure who just lambasts the entire roster with no comeuppance, and they go on and on forever and ever. I hate that a lot. So I'm hoping that this at least leads to the heel turn to be some form of justification for this.
Yeah, and also for me, it's a little bit worse for this one because it's not clear-cut that Sonya Deville is a heel. Like, she's kind of flip-flop between being a heel mm-hmm. and a babyface authority figure for ages now. So it's not like we expect her to run down all the babyfaces, because she doesn't half the time. Half the time she's there and she goes, please welcome this person for a contract signing, which is total babyface moves, right? Whereas in this one, it's like, oh, now she just hates Naomi. Okay. Cool. Are we also supposed to hate Naomi? What are you trying to tell me? But, you know, if I'm assuming it's going to lead somewhere. It's not just a segment for no reason. I wouldn't think this one. It seems like it's setting up something. Even if it is Naomi having to prove herself, it's a story. It's something. Mm-hmm. And it'll be another women's story that's not around the title. So that's good. So,
yeah.
There you go.
That's good. I can't wait for her to beat Zelina Vega on three straight shows.
Gosh.
Yeah. I didn't mention this in the beginning segment, so I'm just going to quickly mention it now. Where the hell is Toni Storm?
I don't know.
She had one match and has pissed off, and she's like the best thing. I love Toni Storm a lot, and I wanted... she showed up, and I was like, yay, new women on this show. We get new matches. And she had one match and disappeared.
Yep.
We still haven't seen Mia Yim.
Nope.
Like, you've got so many people you can use. Yeah. Use them!
Yeah. No, we need Zelina Vega and Carmella to talk about how they need a title shot more.
No. Imagine doing the four-way and it's Bianca versus Liv versus Toni Storm versus Mia Yim. I would love that! That would be so much better than what we got. Mm-hmm. That was okay, but, like, anyway. Neither here nor there.
Rey Mysterio backstage in gorilla position says to Dominic, you need to fly by yourself. I'm not going to help. This is all on you. I've booked you a surprise opponent and you need to do this all by yourself. I'm not going to be at ringside. I'm not going to help. You need to learn by yourself now because I believe in you and I believe you can. So let's go do this. It's Sami Zayn. Don't know why you'd do that as a surprise opponent, but that's okay. Whatever. And then he starts and he beats up Dominic a bit and then Rey comes out to ringside. Why? You literally just said you weren't going to help, and yet here you are helping. Sure, whatever, doesn't matter. It's fine.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn won. Oh my God, he did an exploder into a haluva kick, and then just won. When is the last time Sami Zayn did that? It's amazing.
Years.
Right.
The last time Sami Zayn got a clean win was years ago.
Yeah.
Legitimately years ago. Sami Zayn doesn't win matches. Lunacy. The thing is,
even if he did get like a clean victory, chances are it would be like someone else is beating up someone and he runs in, gets a sneaky haluva kick and gets the win, right? Him just like exploder into haluva, 1, 2, 3, win. It's like that hasn't happened in forever, right?
He was just better.
Yeah.
He was the better wrestler.
Yeah. He's just better than Dom. And, and then afterwards, Dom got a little bit annoyed. And it was unclear whether he was annoyed with himself or with Ray. But Ray was trying to help him back to his feet. He was like, no, go away. I don't want you to help me back to my feet. I can do it by myself.
Don't talk to me, Dad.
Yeah.
Go to my room.
Then started walking off backstage. Cool. Whatever. I mean, mildly interested in this story, depending where it goes. I don't know whether it's going to be like a Dominic heel turn. I don't know. Or whether it's just going to be Dominic's just going to be like, hey, I don't need you anymore, Dad. It's not going to be a heel turn, but they're just going to separate the two. I think that's a dumb move personally, but you know, whatever.
I think these two need to be linked until like Ray retires or leaves the company.
Yeah.
I think that's where all the money is.
Until Dom gets a bit more experience, because he has only been wrestling for a year. And while he's good for being a year in, he's still got a ways to go, I think, before becoming a fully fledged star.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you have him in a tag team with his dad, so you can cover up his weaknesses. They just kind of stopped doing that. Maybe because they only have like four teams on this show. They ran out of opponents.
Yeah. And then we go to the main event segment. But before we do that, we've got backstage in gorilla position. They're getting ready. The Bloodline are there with Paul Heyman ready to do their entrance for the main event segment. The family celebration that's been hyped up for the whole show. And as they're about to go out, Heyman offers up the Universal Championship to Roman Reigns. And Roman's like, what am I going to do with this? And he's like, oh, well, it's a family celebration. And he goes, well, I want you to be there. You are family. I love you. And I was like, oh, Roman, I don't know whether you're being legit or not. And I love it. And Heyman, this whole time, is proper just like cowering and just being like, yes, of course. Like, of course, my tribal chief. And as he's coming out there, making the entrance, he's like holding up the title and giving the title to Roman stuff. And the whole time he's just kind of standing there like praying hands and just kind of head down, just kind of keep away from the spotlight a little bit and just kind of focused on Roman the whole time. Oh, it was wonderful character work from Paul Heyman. Loved all of this. And I genuinely have no idea what Roman's thinking, which is bananas. I don't know whether he's just like playing Paul Heyman because he knows that like, oh, he's totally going to side with Lesnar and I can't risk it. Or he's literally, the Usos are the ones that are thinking that. And Roman is just like, no, I believe Paul. Yeah, he's totally going to stick with me. That's totally fine. Just act normal. Why are you being weird about it? Like, I don't know. I don't know what way it's going to go. This is great. I love it.
I love it so much. It's like a choose your own adventure story and all the options are good. Yeah. You know? Like, both of those two options, I would love to see how those play out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, we're only going to get one of them. Probably, maybe, I don't know. But the possibilities here are endless, and they're all so fun. God, I never need them to focus on Roman and an opponent again. Just have the storyline be the Bloodline stuff. It instant switch.
Mm-hmm.
From being like, oh, kind of cold on Roman Reigns right now. I'm not really enjoying what he's doing on SmackDown, too. This is the best thing in wrestling. I love this. Amazing segments throughout the show. Like, this was a proper SmackDown from, like, 6 months ago when we were raving about it every week and in love with Roman Reigns the whole time.
Yep.
Happy Tempest.
Top stuff. And it's because the primary focus was about that relationship between Roman and Paul, because we got the return of Brock, and it's that, like, where does Paul Heyman's allegiance lie? Now we're focusing on the character dynamics between two people. It makes it so much more interesting. Great. Love it. They then came up for their family celebration. Paul Heyman says that they need to acknowledge Roman Reigns, they need to acknowledge the Usos, and they need to acknowledge that John Cena isn't here anymore before they get interrupted by Finn Balor. Balor comes out and he's like, hey, I haven't forgotten about Cena and what he did to me at the contract signing, but also, oh, my title shot. You know, the one that you said you were going to give me? Hey, I really want it. Also, I was going to challenge you at Extreme Rules, our next pay-per-view, but you know what? I don't trust anyone around here anymore. I'm not going to wait around. I want it next week on SmackDown, which is probably a way because they're going to do Brock Lesnar at the next pay-per-view, I would assume, right? Probably.
I don't know. Like, that seems really fast.
It does, but, I mean, it depends what... He's got 8 matches on his contract, right? In a year and a half? Sure. I feel like he could do one B pay-per-view out of that. I don't know.
I mean, he could. But I just like, I don't know. I feel like this would be, well, it all depends on how they want to book Survivor Series this year.
That's true.
If they're still trying to do, like, Raw versus SmackDown matches, but like they did 2 years ago, they did individual title matches on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that. I would hold it off and book Roman and Brock for Survivor Series.
That's fair.
But that's just me. I don't think it'll be fine either way, but that's how I would do it.
I figured this was a cover because they have another Extreme Rules opponent for Roman, so they just wanted to do the Finn match. They didn't want to drop the story of Finn, so they wanted to resolve it, but they didn't want to do it on pay-per-view. But this seems like a pretty good cover, I think, for the character of Finn. This makes sense for Finn to want that because he got screwed out of his last one. So he's like, I'm not going to wait any longer. I want it next week, which makes sense. They got it all into a brawl. And then the Street Profits came out to help Balor.
Okay. Excuse the tears, Pete.
Yeah.
Music has stopped. They found a new partner.
They just lost to Alpha Academy. And then they're just like, hey, yeah, we're going to go into the main event thing with the Usos. Okay. Hey, it'll be fun. The good wrestlers.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing Usos and Street Profits.
Mm.
But wins and losses don't matter on this show. It's musical chairs. It's musical chairs. There's five tag teams on SmackDown, and when the music stops, you find a new partner. And now, the Street Profits and the Usos have lined themselves up. And that's the new tag feud. It was Street Profits and Alpha Academy. It was the Alpha Academy and the Mysterios. It's the Dirty Dogs and the Mysterios. The Dirty Dogs and the Street Profits. Like, you just got to do every combination of tag teams on this show.
Yep.
And this is the one we haven't done yet, so we're going to go here. Doesn't matter that they lost. This is where we're going. Music is stopped.
As I said in my edited review, I, for one, am really looking forward to Dawkins versus Jimmy, and then Ford versus Jay, and then Dawkins versus Jay, and then Ford versus Jimmy.
And then they're going to do the tag match at the pay-per-view, and then they're going to do all of those again.
And then a six-man tag match involving Roman and other person, probably. Yeah. Oof! Sure. I mean, it was fine, and I'm sure they'll have good matches. It was just a bit of an odd sight. I thought that this show overall started off pretty well with, like, I as much as I didn't enjoy Zelina Vega and Carmella being in the women's segment, I think the positives outweighed the negatives of that, and I really like the slow turn for Becky. I'm liking where Bianca's going. I'm liking Liv Morgan to look better coming out of that. That was all good. Happy Corbin. There was a decent showcase of wrestling on this show. I really liked the Liv Morgan Bianca Belair part of that elimination match. I thought that was good. And I really like Happy Corbin. Everything else was okay. There wasn't really anything too bad on this show. Most of it was fairly inoffensive. I'd have given it like a high three, low four, somewhere around there.
I think a high three is probably about right.
Yeah.
You know, like, the matches after the opening match weren't really anything special.
Mm-hmm.
But the segments throughout the show kind of carried it.
Yeah.
Just whether that's enough, if you care about sitting through a fairly boring tag match or a Cesaro-Chad Gable match, it doesn't matter. It's up to you. I'll probably say 3 out of 5, but an enjoyable show, I think.
According to the poll on the Russell Talk Podcast community tab, you are in agreement with the majority. I don't have a screenshot because I didn't do it in advance, but 59% of people voted for 3 out of 5. 16% went one higher with 4. 12% had a 2, so very much in that kind of middling bracket, so to speak. But yeah, I think that seems about fair. Now we'll go ahead and get into talking about Rampage,
because
we can do that. We'll do that, and then we'll get into the rest of your old chats as well. But before we get to talking about Rampage, we're sponsored by beer52.com/wrestle. I know I've taken it off the screen because we have the Rampage thing now. beer52.com/wrestle. Go click that link. Get 10 free craft beers. UK viewers only. All you got to do is pay for postage, $5.95 for 10 beers. Go get it. It's great. Anyway, Rampage began with the finals of this tournament to determine who's going to face the Young Bucks at All Out in a Steel Cage. And it was the Jurassic Express versus the Lucha Brothers. And this was really fun.
Oh, good man, God. It's fun.
So much fun. They had some convoluted ass spots, but they were all great. They're just like, it's a certain style of wrestling, and I understand if this is not to everyone's taste, but for me, I love this kind of stuff. Just some of the more ridiculous, like Poison Rana's, Phoenix running the ropes, going into a Hurricane Rana to the outside. So much fun stuff like that. Phoenix and Jungle Boy brawling on the apron for then Penta to leap off Phoenix to hit a Canadian Destroyer on Jungle Boy on the apron. Oh, it was crazy. It was all very, very fun.
Oh,
and also
amazing.
Lucha Bros won, and it's good.
Yeah, Lucha Bros won. This is probably how I was leaning. I want to see Lucha Brothers beat the Young Bucks at All Out. I think that would be awesome. This was the best TV match I saw all week.
Mm-hmm.
By like a significant margin. This match was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This match was one of the best matches that I've seen all week. Maybe second best, only behind Walter and Dragunov. Just awesome. Absolutely awesome. The only gripe I had with it was that it opened the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to stop doing that. Because this is 2 weeks in a row on this show where the important thing has opened the show and burnt out the crowd.
Yeah. 3 weeks, right? Because they had Omega Christian as the first match, right?
Yes, but they also still had the Britt Baker thing in the main event that week. So they could still build to another important thing. You got to have two important things on the show if you're going to start with the important thing, right?
Yeah.
So they haven't done that the last 2 weeks. And it's like, I kind of get it for the CM Punk case, because if you're not going to open the show, they're just going to chant CM Punk the whole time. But in this case, this show kind of fell off after this match a little bit. Because the people were just tired and burnt out. And they'd been watching wrestling for a long time. So I get it. But if you put this in the main event and then put the main event in this slot, I think the show is probably a lot better.
Yeah. And for those unaware, this was taped after Dynamite. So people had already watched Dynamite before this show, which is why the crowd were a little bit quieter and not quite as into everything else. Especially after this match. They got very burnt out after this one match. And then they already had burnt out all their energy for the rest of it. Also, just want to address something very, very quickly. Someone just said, can you put the AEW Rampage review in your title, please? We only have 100 character limit for YouTube titles, and today's YouTube title was exactly 100 characters. So I literally don't have any other room for other stuff, which is why it's not in there. Just wanted to address that. After that, I didn't make any notes while I was watching the show. After that, we got Miro coming out. We just said, we're going to hear from Miro. And he came out and he dragged out Fuego del Sol. And he's like, hey, you accepted something that you should have. And it's fine. I said, I'm going to forgive you. That's totally okay. But first, you need to reveal your face to God, right? I think that's what he said, right? I don't even know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And he grabs his Luchador mask and rips it off his face. Boo!
You can't do that.
That's disrespectful. And yeah, Fuego del Sol, like, covering his face, gets super kicked as well and just rolls out the ring. Out comes Eddie Kingston to confront Miro. Comes out on the stage and looks like he's got the microphone up to his mouth and then just doesn't say anything, puts the mic down, turns his hat around like he's Ash Ketchum and just beams it down to the ring, and they just get into a fight. Very cool. And they set up Miro, Kingston, and All Out. Yes, please.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Man.
Listen. I know my shtick when Walter shows up is that he's a perfect wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Miro is another perfect wrestler. I love Miro so much that I was having a conversation with a friend last night who was like the first Rusev fan that I ever knew. You know, mm-hmm. It was just like he was on the Rusev train from the beginning. It took me a little while to warm up to Rusev just because, you know, evil Russian, whatever.
Sure.
He loved it and was always on board. Now I was like, I think Miro has been one of the most consistently entertaining wrestlers of the decade. Like, everything that he says, every promo, I watch with the biggest smile on my face. On Dynamite, when he was like, God will love me because I am the Redeemer, and my wife will love me because I am the champion. I was like, the greatest man to ever live. He is so consistently entertaining. And for a storyline that hadn't been given a whole lot of build to this point, I want to see the match.
Yeah.
That's the goal. I want to see the match.
I mean, to be honest, all you need to do is say you're going to do Miro versus Kingston, and you go, yes, yeah. Already on board with that. And then they just have a little thing here where Kingston goes like he's going to do a promo and comes out and then he fights instead. I'm on board. You literally don't need anything else. I'm totally sold.
Yeah. I don't want anything else from a feud like this. You know, it's the big European brute versus the brawler. I don't need, I could see promos because they'd be great too, but like, I just want to see them fight. And that's what we got. And it was good. Loved it. Love Miro so much.
And
TNT champion's been great.
Yes, 100%. And I'd like to see promos from them, just not against each other. I don't want to see them come face to face until All Out now. It would be great. After that, we then had Ty Conti versus the Bunny, which was the low point of the show, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Crowd were a little bit dead for this one, but they do really like Ty Conti. The finish was very, very weird. Because Ty Conti's been on a 15-match winning streak. That's her whole thing, and she's been racking up those wins and kind of building momentum and all that stuff. And they were having an okay match. There was nothing particularly bad about it at all. Then it got towards the finish. Ty hits her finisher as Penelope Ford is coming out. And then she just kind of carries on the match for a bit while she's kind of just not pinning her for some reason. And then Penelope Ford is like, oh, hey, I'm also here. And she's like, what the hell? Why are you here? And then gets distracted and Bunny kind of interferes. She gets the brass knucks from the blade that's on the outside. Does a botched punch. It didn't look very good.
It didn't look very good.
No.
It was like her hair was down in front of her face and she kind of like jabbed at her going up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really tough with all of these brass knuckles things, because a lot of the times the fans don't even see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like the match is lost on a punch, which is lame. It's just like, I don't know. It's rough. The match was okay, but the finish was not there and the fans were dead for it. And it just, I don't know. It just kind of felt like a wet blanket being thrown on the show a little bit.
Yeah. Which is a shame. I get what they were going for. It just didn't work. Distraction finishes aren't very good generally, which is why we crap on them all the time when WWE does them all the time. Wasn't great here either. And yeah, hopefully they don't do it too often going forwards. And it's a shame that Ty Conti lost, considering that she was had this kind of hot streak. And in AEW, wins and losses matter. So yeah, shame she had to lose here. But hey-ho, is what it is. And then we had the main event of Kenny Omega and Brandon Cutler versus the other two, Christian Cage and Frankie Kazarian. Can you tell I'm very tired? This was a match. I think you nailed it in your edited review when you said that the crowd were just bummed out they didn't get to see Kenny wrestle because they were telling the story that Kenny is scared to get in the ring with Christian and he was just avoiding him at all costs. But the crowd just wanted to see Kenny do a wrestle and they didn't get to see that because he kept chickening out and putting in Brandon Cutler instead. And as funny as Brandon Cutler was for some parts of it, there were some parts where the crowd were just like, I don't want to see you do your comedy stuff right now. I just want to see Kenny do wrestling. So it didn't quite strike the chord they were hoping for.
Yeah. And again, I think if you put this match at the beginning of the show, it does a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this is the first thing that the crowd sees and they could really get into Kenny Omega's heel shtick, maybe not. Maybe they still wouldn't have really been there for it if that was the case where they wanted to see Kenny wrestle and just not being given that. But at the end of the show, when they have seen the great match already at the opener and they've kind of gone through the rest of the show having not seen anything quite to that level, and then you don't quite get Kenny Omega, don't think that was the smartest decision. I thought the match itself was fine because Christian's great, Kenny's great, Kazarian's great. Brandon Cutler can be a punching bag and be good at that, but I don't know. I think if you just shuffle this card around in a different order, I think it's a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% agree with you there. That was AEW Rampage. It's a short show. It's an hour.
That's so refreshing though.
I know.
This show legit gets bumped up in my review just by being an hour.
Yep.
It's like, oh, it was even if it wasn't like the best show I've ever seen, it was only an hour.
Well, let's get into the rest of your... No, we're not going to do your Ultra Chats, because first and foremost, sponsored by Beer 52. go and get your crate of 10 free craft beers, beer52.com/wrestle. And also, we have got our Pledgehammer shoutouts for this month, which I believe is the last ones of the month, for our $25 and above Pledgehammers. Thank you so much, everyone who has become a Pledgehammer this month. We have so many more Pledgehammers this month. So many of you have decided to sign up to our Patreon page. It's so, so awesome. Thank you so much. You've got like 3 days left to get the annual backer discount, because it's only in August for this month, where you can get 2 months for free if you pledge annually at our Patreon page, patreon.com/WrestleTalk. You get a bunch of bonus content. You get loads of stuff on that page. WrestleTalk After Dark has just gone up, where we just drink and chat nonsense for a couple hours. It's a good time. And if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show, much like this one. So thank you to Victor Henry Napoleon Dynamite. Yes.
Woo.
Thank you.
Arnie K. The K stands for the coolest dude ever.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Double L. Liam Leonard. Yeah. Thank you.
Michael Misselin Marquis.
Misselin Marquis.
Misselin.
Like mislaying my keys. You get, you know what I mean?
Well, no. What the hell does mislaying my keys mean?
When you mislay your keys, when you leave your keys somewhere, you mislay them. It's a thing.
So interesting.
You mislay your keys. It's funny. Colin, McLeaner than Finn Balor. Woo!
Woo!
That one wasn't mine. Yeah.
Bobby G in the house.
Thank you very much. Hector H. Train Mikado. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Not Eugene, Andrew Dinsmore.
Yeah. Yay, thank you. He's got two first names, Matt Howard. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
James, easy to please, that's why nobody cares, Nepper.
Yeah. Yay, thank you very much. David, Lucasfilm.
Yay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Starbucks, Stephen Costa. Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. A Song of Ice Fire 352.
I like that one.
That's pretty good.
Ryan, The Chronicles of Xernia.
Yeah, thank you. And finally, Smash the Glass Ceiling, CJ Slattern. Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you very much, all of our Pledgehammers, for being awesome. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Bazo Banks says, Liv and Naomi back on TV? Yes, please. She's been improving from the training vid she posts, and when she busted out that handstand Hurricane Rana, I lost it. See what happens when you give people a chance? Sonya basically treated Naomi the same way WWE has for 4 years. Yeah. Maybe Sonya is just the voice. Maybe Sonya is just the voice of WWE. And it's been like, you're a bit rubbish, aren't you?
I hate that. Naomi a chance.
Oh, yeah. Hate that.
They respond to hashtags, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. Pavy Pants says, now that all the four horsewomen, Becky, Charlotte, Bailey, and Sasha, are all the heels, do you think at Survivor Series we'll see 4v4 putting new four female superstars over, like Bianca, Ripley, Liv, Toni Storm, I don't know, Nikki? No.
Well, Bailey's not going to be back by then.
Indeed. Bailey won't be back. And also, I still don't think they'd do it. I think they are too... I don't think they'd want people to compare the four horsewomen in terms of where they are. If they're all heels and stuff, and they want Charlotte to be like the top heel on Raw, and they want Becky to be like the top heel on SmackDown, I don't think they'd want people to compare like Charlotte and Becky on the different shows in one team, if that makes sense. I feel like they'd want to keep them separate. That's just me.
Also, all four of them putting over new stars. You know what company you're talking about here?
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get Charlotte and Becky putting people over on the same show. They would probably spread those out a little bit.
I mean, they'd win. They'd win that match. But it's just the idea of having them compete against four others, I guess. They totally win. Let's not
give them the rub.
Yeah, exactly. Eternal Blues says, Rollins is going to be more like Edge. Oh boy, I'm sure glad Renee and Moxley aren't in the company anymore. Or Matt Hardy, for that matter. Ugh. Will Seth and Bex do the dirty dancing on Raw, but PG, so like kissing behind a curtain? God.
Yeah, you know, maybe Seth Rollins doesn't need to be more like Edge.
Yeah, no, we can leave some of that.
Edge is a time capsule.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. Jay Derezinski says, hey guys, Tempest, in your Rampage review, you said the crowd was burnt out after the tag match, which is true. We were. The other thing to factor in now is that was our fourth hour of the taping that Wednesday night. We were all exhausted after all the huge pops. Yeah, that makes total sense, is what we were saying. And also, that's very cool that you were there.
Mm-hmm. You run the risk of that just when you book or tape them back to back like that. Which, I understand it. I've been to shows where they've taped Raw and SmackDown the same night. This was before Raw was 3 hours, thank God. But it is a long show. Anything longer than like 2 hours of wrestling is a little bit long. So my thoughts go out to you, but I'm glad you at least got to see the tag match. That was cool. Yeah.
Steven Bayer says, last name is pronounced Bayer. I got it right. I did it. First try. I didn't even look ahead. I'm so proud of myself. Last name is pronounced Bayer. No worries. I've had it my whole life. I'm the greatest. Tempest, watched your AEW review. Agreed. The crowd was dead. I was at the Chicago Rampage. They filled 3 hours of dark beforehand. Might have something to do with it. Crowd just tired. Yes. That's what we've been saying.
Yeah. I do still think that the show would be better if things were in a different order.
Yes.
Like they keep putting the most important, exciting thing at the beginning of the show. I know that you want to open with a strong match, but if you just booked two strong matches and saved the better one for the main event, I think it would do better.
Yeah. And also, having Kenny Omega and Christian Cage in a tag match is still a strong match. It doesn't even have to be like the best technical wrestling match in the world or whatever. That's still a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they could totally have that be like the opener.
I agree.
Hannah Allen said, Pete and Laurie, Laurie's not here, Hades, yes, yes, Hades, love that game. Sorry, Tempest, I can't remember if you spoke about this game. I'm now addicted. Yay, PS5, baby. With the same eyes, let's AEW. Well, heck darn, wrestling can be cool and enjoyable and with lots of love. Hashtag LOW444Life, hashtag Jam That Jam.
I hope you enjoyed your drink, Hannah.
Hannah Allen again. Without loss. Sorry, Streamlabs edited me. Congrats, WTD Luke Owen.
WrestleTalk Dad.
Luke Owen. Congrats, WrestleTalk, for the popular session. We love y'all because y'all chips. Also, Pete, please don't feel the neg when so many of us love you. On a bad day, you're already so much. U2T... X? Hashtag LOW444Life.
Thanks, Hannah.
Again. Thanks, Hannah. Hope you enjoyed your drinks.
I find these very wholesome.
They are incredibly wholesome and cute and very funny. Please keep sending them, Hannah. You're the greatest. Right, I have a couple of emails, Tempest, which I'll get to here. Dale Goshawk. The subject of the email is Pete and Tempest. Sorry, Tempest.
No, says, why are you sorry?
You'll see.
What's about to happen?
Hey, Intangibles. I saw this joke the other day. I won't take credit for it, but it's very funny. Maybe not for Tempest. Here goes. Two Canadians die and end up in hell. Satan decides to pay them a visit, so he walks into their room and sees them talking and laughing. Confused, he asks them why they're happy. They tell him, well, we're so sick of the cold where we're from, and this place is nice and toasty. I'm just going to stop this joke there. Canada is also a hot place.
It's very hot.
It's the two extremes. It's cold and hot. But, you know, for the sake of the joke, let's just say Canada's a frozen wasteland all the time.
Yeah, we're a tundra.
Yeah, totally. Satan, annoyed, storms away and goes to Hell's boiler room, where he turns up the temperature. He goes back to the Canadian's room, along the way being begged by all sorts of people to put the heating back down. He enters the room to see the Canadians having a barbecue. Furiously, he asks them what they're doing. Well, we can't pass up this wonderful weather without getting out the barbecue. Satan realizes he's been doing the wrong thing. He goes to the boiler room and turns it down until it's at a colder temperature than Earth has ever seen. He knows he's won now, so he goes back to the Canadian's room, only to see them jumping up and down in excitement. He shouts at them in fury, "Why are you still happy?" They look at him and shout at the same time, "Hell froze over! Even though we weren't around to see it, that can only mean the Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup."
It's actually quite funny. I like that. That's not bad. You got there by the end. I was kind of like, Canadian weather sucks. Whatever. Yeah. But yeah. You got there.
It was a red herring. The weather was, wasn't the joke. Yeah. It was very good.
I like that. Like that.
And then he said, "Sorry, Tempest. Jam that jam. Stay intangible. Dale." Thank you, Dale.
Thanks, man. Yeah. The Leafs suck.
Yep.
I hate that goddamn team. I will be honest. I hate them.
It's a good time.
But yeah. Yeah, man. I will tell you right now though, both of those situations sound horrible. My perfect weather is like year round fall weather.
Mm-hmm. Like temperate.
Yeah, like if there was a place on Earth that was just fall weather the whole time, where it's like cool, warm sun still, but you got a cool breeze at all mm-hmm. times, and it's not super rainy. That's why I don't like spring, because it rains too much. The fall doesn't rain as much. It's nice. Find me a place where it's fall all year round, because I don't like the heat at all. I like the cold, but at some point the cold just kind of needs to piss off a little bit.
Sometimes you need a bit of warmth, right?
You get to February and just like, all right, let's wrap this up. It's time to go home. Winter.
I've got another email here from Katie that says, "Hi, Intangibles. Sorry I got your birthday wrong, Pete. I accidentally played into the bit of getting it wrong. To lean into it now, happy birthday."
Happy birthday,
thanks,
Pete.
Thanks, Katie. Tempest, as members of the millions and millions of ardent LIW supporters, my husband and I would love to meet you and or buy you a beer if we run into you before the shows, if you are okay with strangers saying hi. Less than a week to go, it's shaping up to be a fantastic set of shows. LIW and AEW for life. Thank you, Katie.
By all means. I see, this is the weird thing, though. Like, I don't plan on sitting in my seat or walking around the concourse with my mask on. Right?
Yeah.
So this part's going to be covered by a COVID mask, right? Yeah. My mouth and everything, mouth and nose. So if you can somehow get a glimpse of like my jam, that if you could recognize me by my tattoos or something, by all means, come up, say hi. I'll be there for Dynamite, Rampage, and All Out. And if someone wants to buy me a beer and chat and say hi, that'll be neat. I'll have my mask in my pocket, so like we'll make it work.
Opportunities.
Yeah. She's like, I can't guarantee you. I'm not gonna walk around with a sign being like, "I'm Tempest of WrestleTalk."
But you don't have to have a sign, just wear some WrestleTalk merch, mate. Problem solved, buddy.
That will help. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. On the TV shows, I think that's more likely than when I don't necessarily want to be wearing this shirt when I have to go to the presser after All Out. You know what I mean? But yeah, if by some chance that people recognize me, absolutely, come up and say hi. I'd be happy to meet you.
Hell yeah. I think on that note, we'll end this episode of the SmackDown and Rampage podcast. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate it. I'm very tired. I'm going to go home and sleep, probably. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate you so much. We've got All Out coming up soon. I'm very excited for that. Going to be doing live reactions, etc. for it. And Tempest is going to be there in person, the lucky bastard. So we'll have lots more coverage for that coming soon. Make sure to subscribe to your podcast feeds. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well, so you can see our beautiful faces. All sorts of stuff. Thanks for listening. Love you. Stay safe. Goodbye.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.